It's the Daily Gopher Football Podcast. We are back for another week to talk about your 3-0, your undefeated Minnesota Golden Gophers after a big win over Western Michigan. I am Jeff Rick, back for another week, the podcast pinch hitter, the DH, the master of everything. It is Chris back for another one. Chris, thanks for back for being on. And how do you feel about yet another victory, this one over Western Michigan?
Oh, well, thanks for having me back. It felt nice. You know, I've been reflecting this week, 3-0. It's been a long time since we can say that, and I'm just in a better mood, frankly, all week. Better mood driving home from the Twin Cities, better mood at work. So, you know, early thoughts, I thought it was really nice to see Max step in when Marquise went down. I thought the secondary kept playing well. And, you know, obviously there's some, a little bit of concern still maybe with the run game or the run defense, but I mean, this is the game I picked them to lose, honestly, in the preseason without, you know, being able to see anybody play yet. This is the one that worried me the most. I was probably wrong about that looking at how Syracuse has been playing, but, still to see them get a win, be 3-0 and halfway to a bowl, that's a good spot to be.
You and I both picked that. The Western Michigan game is the one we thought they would lose, and that was without talking to each other or anything. We must have been on the same page because I saw, you know, a fifth-year senior quarterback who was in his third year of starting would put up some good stats and just kind of one of those maybe trap games they're looking ahead. And but, you know, they played really well. Carter was almost not even the issue. He, you know, we got the pressure we were hoping to see from Hageman and everyone else in the line and the team, but it was really the running game that was a little more of an issue for him and kept them in that game.
Yeah, and I you know, last week I talked about how, you know, nothing about the linebackers had really, you know, wasn't really standing out to me, and, you know, perhaps that was that I don't necessarily do a great job of following linebacker play, but I'm really starting to think more that, you know, the linebackers aren't quite getting it done in run stopping like they should. Because I get the feeling that, yeah, the defensive line could be doing more, but, you know, you still have a few guys there that are better pass rushers than run rushers, and you need to have the linebackers help that out. I'm not sure we're seeing that.
Yeah, a bit surprising, and maybe that's just us as fans looking at, well, you know, Western Michigan's got the big passing offense. They're going to spread it out. They're going to go 4 and 5. So it was kind of a surprise to see him running as well as they did. At the same time, I thought a big coming out party for Michael Carter, had the pick, had what, 3 or 4 pass breakups. He finally looked like the guy that we had recruited 4 years ago from down in Florida, that we, you know, the impact guy that we thought we were getting, and he finally, you know, kind of turned into that player.
Yeah, I was really, really impressed with how he played. There was that, I think it was his first pass breakup. Honestly, you know, from my angle down on the, towards the open end of the stadium, it looked like it had to be, you know, an interference, just with how he was coming from behind the receiver. But, you know, you watch the replays, you know, either on Gopher Sports or I actually haven't checked my DVR to see if that was part of the game when, Big Ten Network completely lost its feet, but, you know, it was actually just a really great, clean play, and it was just fantastic to see another member of the defense step up, especially, you know, with Shabazz, who had a good game against New Hampshire. He was out with his turf toe or broken toe, whichever it is. You know, so just continue to see another member of the secondary step up. It really makes you feel better going into a week where there's another pass-heavy team coming.
Yeah, no kidding, right? I mean, it's nice. Coming into the season, we knew we had Troy back healthy for his last year, and that was big. And then it just seemed like a lot of question marks around him with so many young guys. And, you know, going to that first practice in the fall and seeing Michael Carter line up as the starting cornerback, especially when he played so little last year, got my hopes up a little, being like, all right, maybe he's finally putting it together. Maybe he's finally figured it out. He's going to be the guy that we thought he got. He was all right at stretches in the first couple of games, but boy, that's you know, they obviously, Western Michigan looked like they have a game plan. They were going to go after him, make him work it. They were throwing to that Wilson kid quite a bit as their first guy. And boy, you know, Michael Carter really shut him down, did a nice job of getting out there. You mentioned the pass breakup that he had. The pick was on him. He had another couple. if he can keep doing this and playing well, that gives us two, you know, pretty solid options on the corners on the outside, and not just for the Syracuse game. And moving forward, that's going to be nice to have and help out the defense as a whole if, you know, your guys outside on an island are going to be able to hold their own.
I completely agree. It'll be good. I think we'll get a nice break for them, too. Not right away, necessarily. Northwestern's in there right away as well. But, I think Iowa and Wisconsin, they both had passing issues. And, wow, having some corners who can ball hawk and let the defense focus in on the run game, that'll be good.
Offensively for the Gophers, another nice game. Conservative in stretches, which is a little puzzling to me, just how conservative they were early. They're trying to say now that even if Marquise had stayed healthy, they were planning to open it up, and it just happened to be when Max came in. I'm not quite sure I buy that, but, for the quarter and a half, they let him open it up. He looked fantastic, and then they kind of shut her down for midway through the third into the fourth quarter and managed to hang on, but thoughts on the offensive performance that we got to see from Minnesota?
Well, I was as frustrated as everybody else seemed to be with the play calling early. That much running, it just eventually you're going to – it's the effectiveness is going to be gone. It was good at first, that first drive. They had some success with it, but then they just kept going back and going back and going back. And, I understand, the concept of establishing, a ground game and looking to open things up, but that was a lot of running up the gut for establishing, a ground game. Max just looked great. Looking at the clips and the highlights, since the game, he really throws a great ball. You think you see it and you think it looks nice when you're up in the stands, but you get to see it followed a little more closely on the highlight reel, and he really is a very, very polished passer, I think, for being a sophomore. I didn't have a real problem with him tightening up in the second part of the game in the latter stages a little bit. I mean, when they first started doing it, I was like, oh, are we going to this a little early? But, you are facing a team that, while they're running well, it's primarily a passing offense. And, the more time you can take off the clock, the better. So I was okay with that ultimately in the fourth quarter. But the first part of the game, I thought, that they went with the run up the gut just far too much, especially when they have other options. They have the little jet sweeps. They have, some outside choices that they can make, and they really were, faking those all the time, but never ever utilizing them.
Yeah, I'll give them credit there in the fourth. That's when Janelle Kirkwood really seemed to find his legs a little more, and the offensive line really started plowing downhill. I mean, I was a little puzzled and frustrated in the beginning. They opened it up, then they went to conservative in the end to try and kill the clock and control the ball, and they certainly did that. But, great to see an offensive line that can kind of dominate at the line of scrimmage and get yards when the defense knows exactly what's coming. We haven't had that here really since the Mason era, but they showed it. And it sounds like from what I was reading from Coach Kill, in his couple of games after, he's really happy with what Zach Epping's doing. Even if Motla's healthy, that might be a permanent switch with Epping moving to the middle and letting Caleb Bach play at right guard.
And I think that would be, I've heard good things about Bach, too. So I think that would be, a totally okay move. I'd be interested to see if there is any exchange issues. There's obviously a little bit of that still early in the game. If that was Grace moving too quick and not getting a good handle, or if that was, Epping needing some time to adjust. If it's working, I would not mess with it if they're feeling comfortable with what's going on.
I get all my offensive line information from Matt at FBT, so if he likes it, I'm just going to go ahead and say I like it too, because I don't know enough else to really give an educated opinion on that one.
Yeah, he seemed pretty positive on moving Epping and Bach. He seems to be very, very high on Bach's ability, so. I agree. I am not an offensive line guru by any means. So when people who can speak intelligently about actual blocking schemes seem pleased, I'm good with it too.
AJ Barker, is there anything we haven't said or can say about the guy? He's just been unbelievable. The guy, the walk-on from De La Salle, and I mean, it, you know, at first maybe a nice possession receiver, maybe something here or there in the Vegas game, and then okay, he's making plays against New Hampshire, but I mean, Wynn called upon three touchdowns. He had three of them, and he was unbelievable in that game, and he's becoming a go-to guy.
Yeah, there's a great, I wish I could remember exactly what the stat was with the three touchdowns, but you know, it's actually been a very, I think he's the 11th, if I remember the stat correctly, he's only the 11th Gopher receiver to have a three touchdown game. So, I mean, it's a big deal anyway, but when you look at it within the history of the program, assuming I'm remembering that stat correctly, I saw it on Twitter, I think, during the game, you know, it's even more impressive, within the history of the program. Especially for a guy who, you know, watching the UNLV game, I was watching it with a buddy of mine here in Madison, who's a U grad, and he is by no means a casual fan. I mean, he's pretty plugged in, to, you know, what's going on with the Gophers, but his first reaction when Barker caught his first pass was, wait a minute, who's this kid? Like, seriously, I don't remember hearing his name ever. And to really make that transition from walk-on, that's, you know, I'm sure that was not an uncommon reaction around, Gopher fans. To move all the way to, hey, 11th guy in program history to catch three touchdowns in the game, you know, it's been very impressive.
No, I mean, I'm pretty sure he had zero catches for his career coming into the season. I mean, I don't even know if he got on the field as a wide receiver, to, you know, before this year. He was a guy who came completely off, you know, off from the sidelines from, you know, nobody had any idea about him, and now he comes in and he's been by far the best receiver and a guy who looks like hopefully he could be an anchor for this team. I mean, it's awesome. In a group that was very young, we knew it was going to be inexperienced. We were hoping Brandon Green would be able to provide that leadership, and for whatever reason, I don't think he's caught a pass yet, or one or two. Malcolm Moulton's been disappeared entirely. He's been DNP'd for the first three games. So, I mean, for Barker to step up, it was the guy we needed, and it's coming exactly the right time.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Kill the coaches were singing some praises about him. I can't remember if it was in the spring or certainly in fall practice, but it was one of the situations where, you know, you hadn't really heard anything about the guy previously, seen him do anything, so you just didn't know if it was one of those, you know, hey, they're having some great practices, or, you know, is he really going to become a feature of the offense? And I think it is important because, I mean, Green, if I remember correctly, is still fighting some knee injury issues, so he's really, I wouldn't expect a heck of a lot out of him moving forward, which is too bad because, you know, it's a real tough way to have your career end where, you know, one yet another year, you know, taken away by lingering, you know, knee problems. Moulton, I don't know what's going on there. There's been talk of, you know, maybe there were some other, because the DNP doesn't seem to be related to any sort of an injury that's been reported. So you have to wonder something else going on there in the doghouse type of thing. But hopefully he, you know, is able to you know, put it together, either to be healthy or to get his stuff figured out and contribute down the stretch. But in the meantime, I mean, having a guy like Barker who you hadn't planned on, I mean, I remember everyone was talking to DCT coming into the year. They were talking Green, you know, lots of other names. To have him step up, that's not going to hurt. That's for sure.
We are the national champion Gopher women's hockey team, and we want you to do the Gopher.
Rolling along on the podcast, Chris, the all-important question going around Minnesota these days, nothing to do with quarterbacks, it's can you do the Gopher? Are you up to speed on how to do the Gopher?
I am up to speed on how to do the Gopher. I will admit I was not doing the Gopher myself at the game on Saturday. I think I was just taking a break from screaming a lot. I hadn't... hadn't been to the first game and didn't properly warm up the vocal cords, so we're actually quite good. I actually even have my voice back for today. But I'm actually really excited about the little elements I'm seeing this season, like doing the Gopher. Actually, one little thing that I noticed, I didn't pay close enough attention to see if it was happening all the time, but it used to bug me to no end that they would have Goldie do his push-ups right as the other team would start their drive. It always felt to me like, especially when they had you'd back them up on a long kickoff into the student end zone, and their students would be not able to, you know, focus on bringing noise. They'd be, you know, understandably excited and chanting off the touchdown push-ups. And it seemed like they found ways to, at least the two times I noticed, to make sure that didn't happen right at that kind of, quote, wrong time. And I'm seeing little things like that just all over the place. You know, the university is organizing a tailgate and letting people bring their own beer. Famous Dave's is providing the food. You pay $10 and you come tailgate with them. It's, you know, so I'm encouraged by fun little stuff like that that seems to be focused on improving the game day atmosphere.
Yeah, stuff like that never happened under Maturi. I know people can talk about it. Maybe it wasn't him, but this definitely seems like it's a Norwood Teague thing or something that at least has changed and been enhanced with him this season compared to what we've seen in the past.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And they're welcome to continue picking up fun stuff like that all they want because, you know, I think that's the sort of little stuff that, you know, it may not seem like much, but when you're not doing it, it's a little more glaring to folks who are paying attention when you're not doing it. And so when you're doing it right, you know, if it goes unnoticed to most folks, but they are getting a positive vibe from it, you're hitting it right out of the park as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I'm not sure the do the gopher thing is my favorite thing they could have come up with, but as you said, they're trying. It's been awesome to see the student section out and about as full of force as you can get. You know, that lower bowl has been packed, and they've done a pretty good job in the upper part as well in the back of the end zone. That's been good. And something that obviously can't be pinned on Maturi as he didn't have is just that they finally allowed beer, and I think having that beer garden in the back has been kind of a new place to be. It just helps. It's and obviously the team's winning, so that really is going to make everything better, or is going to make the big difference for your crowd ambiance. But yeah, I agree. They seem to be doing a lot of little things, and it's adding up, and it's making for a better game day experience. And boy, I think coming up against Syracuse, finally get a night game. People can finally get a solid day or afternoon of tailgating in. It's with the 11 a.m. kicks. It's just so hard to do. But I'm hoping we're going to have the best atmosphere of town. It sounds like, too, they're really pushing to get that game sold out with all the $10 seats and that kind of thing. So we could have the best atmosphere yet on Saturday night.
Yeah, I was really impressed and excited because they put up the $10 ticket deal right on the big scoreboard immediately following. I mean, just right after the game, it was already ready to go. So this is clearly a pretty carefully orchestrated campaign by the athletic department. Because, you know, I got an email on my phone 5 minutes after that, and, you know, it was up on Twitter and Facebook quick. So, again, just another little detail, you know, if it's something that you're going to do, you know, having it going right away, it sounded like they had in the first 12 hours or so, they sold something like 1,400 seats. So, you know, given our fan base and how folks have, you know, understandably been a little bit hesitant to come out given some of the struggles that the program has had, that sort of quick response is really impressive.
Yeah, definitely. Reading the SB Nation Syracuse blog, the Nunez Magician, I know that sounds like they've got a Syracuse alum chapter and they might get a decent turnout for an East Coast school coming this way. So between them and kind of the amplified efforts of you know, the department to get people in there, I think it's going to be fantastic. I'm looking forward to it. Max Shortell is going to be the quarterback. That sounds like it's pretty much a done deal at this point. We know Gray's out at least 2 to 4 weeks, my guess. I don't know if you agree. We probably don't see him again until the Northwestern game, considering we've got Syracuse this week, Iowa, and then the bye. So that would give him really 3 solid weeks to get that ankle healed. But I'm trying to think. I mean, with what we've seen in really the first couple of games, it's almost hard to guess what kind of offense we're going to see from Minnesota. Like, I would love to see them let Max kind of open it up and fling it around, but I'm not sure that's Jerry Kills and Matt Limegrover's style. I mean, how do you see this one going, at least offensively?
I would assume they're going to try to establish the run. They've always indicated that their offense, while being, you know, multiple or however they like to talk about it, it's definitely run first. And I think, you know, you look at their history of the offense at Northern and Southern Illinois, and it's, you know, probably about, I think it was 60 to 65% run was their ideal mix. So I would assume, and you got to keep in mind too, I mean, that's going to be Max's first start since, I mean, well, I think what was his last start last year, Michigan, I believe,
yep.
and he got just
yep.
shell-shocked by
yep.
that. So you got to think they'll establish the, or attempt to establish the run early to give him, you know, a little bit of a breather, keep, maybe start him off with some short passes that are an extension of the run game. But I would definitely expect that, them to let him open it up as the game goes on, because he clearly has the ability to do that. And I think, I'm not going to say, you know, if they're smart about it, they're going to have to. I mean, if they continue to be very run focused early, you know, you're not going to be able to go back to that forever. You are going to have to be willing to take shots downfield to keep the defense honest and not let them creep, you know, eight guys into the box. So, you know, I'm actually, I hope there's no reason to find out if he's just, if Kill is kidding here or just, you know, being strategic. But today he was talking about, you know, Gray actually feeling, you know, not too shabby, and, you know, they can bring him in as a backup if necessary, if hopefully if Max goes out for a play or two, you know, with the new helmet rule. And I'm not sure I buy it. I kind of feel like he might just be playing around to try to keep, you know, Syracuse thinking a little bit. But maybe it won't be the 2 to 4 weeks. I don't know. I hope if he's not feeling great, that, you know, at best they make him the backup and they let him heal, because there's no sense bringing him back if he's not going to be healthy. But, you know, whatever they choose to do, it sounds like they have a plan in place for backing up Max that doesn't include, you know, pulling Nelson's red shirt just because Max lost his helmet. So, you know, that would make me guess that it's going to be Dexter Foreman or even Moses, you know, coming in for a play just to hand the ball off, honestly.
You don't see the 300-plus-pound Moses Alapate maybe running some option, maybe a little option keeper up the middle. He could do some damage if he got the momentum rolling.
I could see them going five wide and shotgun and letting him just barrel downhill, get some momentum before he hits the line, maybe.
That would be awesome. I would love that just for a play. Yeah, you bring up a good point, though, this whole new helmet rule that started where if a player loses his helmet, he has to come off for a play. Obviously, if Marquise Gray isn't available, which we're guessing he won't be, but as you said, maybe not. But it puts them in a tough spot because technically their third-string quarterback is true freshman Phillip Nelson, and I don't think they have any plans to play him this year, but he's definitely been the third best guy on the squad. So, yeah, then it brings in the thing, okay, if we don't have Marquise, what happens if Max gets knocked down and his helmet comes off? You're not going to burn a redshirt, I would hope, for one play. We've seen people on the blog mention, you know, maybe they run some wildcat with KJ May, or maybe it's just Dexter Foreman going in and handing the ball off, but it's as long as Gray is going to be out, it puts him in a bit of a tough situation here. If something happens to Max or he loses that helmet, we're could see a very interesting play design if you know, for that play or two that he's out.
Yeah, no, and that was a nice thing I took away from the press conference today was, you know, Kill seemed to stress that they do have a plan, and they had a plan on Saturday for what they were going to do. I mean, is that totally the case? I have no idea, but you know, it would seem to make sense that, you know, they probably have a small package or you know, something in mind to keep it simple, that, you know, they don't have to worry about, you know, bringing in Nelson for anything besides Max actually going down with an injury.
Yeah, we'll and we'll save the. We were thinking about doing, you know, the quarterback controversy stuff this week, but I think as everyone's come to the conclusion, it seems on our own and together, it's too soon. There's nothing to talk about. You know, when Gray's healthy and depending on how Max does, then we can talk about it. But I will say it's you see kind of what difference a season makes. I mean, he went in against Michigan in his start last year when Q was hurt and just looked completely overwhelmed. Granted, that was a pretty good Michigan team that just clobbered them. That was easily the low point of last season before things started to turn around for him. But, I mean, yeah, as you said, in that Western Michigan game, he looked calm, cool, and collected, was sitting back there completing passes, even had another couple of nice runs. Whatever happens at the quarterback position, it's nice to know that if Marquise is not the guy, I think we're in pretty good hands with Max, and he's just a sophomore.
No, I agree. I, you know, I, it's, Yeah, and I've heard people refer to him as maybe the best backup quarterback in the conference. I know not enough about the other backup quarterbacks. I'd say, you know, you'd have to see Northwestern having an argument there because they've got their own little QB tandem thing going on that's working pretty well for him. But however he stacks up, he's certainly, you know, more than capable of coming in and leading the team under the right circumstances. You know, has he been thrown to the wolves yet? No, by no means. And so it'll be interesting if in the coming weeks, you know, especially if at Iowa, you know, he's expected to start at Iowa, you know, it's another first true road test at a place that can be a little bit hostile. But at the same time, you know, it's kind of nice that he's getting the opportunity. Not that it's nice that Grace hurt, but, you know, if forced to be in the situation, it's better that he's getting the chance to do so in front of, you know, friendly faces for the first 1.5 games. Kind of worked some of the kinks out before, you know, we follow the team down to Iowa.
You were talking about best backup quarterbacks in the Big Ten. I'm sure you meant to mention John Stab or Stave from Wisconsin, because he looked awesome in that Utah State game when he came in and threw a grand total of 2 passes in relief. I don't know what's happening in Madison. I don't care. I'm just going to enjoy it as long as they're terrible and Brett Bielema has to squirm and made to look like the let's call it the D-bag that he is. I said, I don't know what's going on in Madison, but I love it for right now, and it can last as long as it wants.
Yeah, as a resident of Madison, Wisconsin, it is quite enjoyable for me. The folks around the office who normally are kind of yappy about the Badgers, not so quick to want to
talk
anything about
them.
Yeah, no, they don't like to talk to a Gopher fan at all.
Never
about that kind of stuff. No, they can struggle for as long as they want. It's not going to bother me any.
What are people saying? What are the, you know, the media and the folks following them? Is it just a thing of, you know, Russell Wilson's gone and they don't have, obviously he was the best quarterback they've ever had. You know, they miss Nick Toon, the linemen, the coaches. Are they just saying it's just a combination of all of that happening in one off season has been why they've been off to such a terrible start?
I think folks are kind of looking at it as a combination. People are saying, oh, we should have known it would be a little bit tougher to make all these adjustments, especially when you throw in, you know, losing the coaches. I think it's pretty clear at this point, to me at least, that I think Bielema made a poor hire with that offensive line coach, Markison. I don't think Markison is actually a bad coach. I think the choice of Markison was bad. You know, Wisconsin's their offensive line philosophy has not changed in, I mean, forever. You know,
yeah,
Barry got there. And this guy taught an entirely different style of run blocking. You know, the interesting thing is they've expanded upon what that meant in some of the Madison papers this week. And basically, you know, a Wisconsin offensive line pulled a lot. You know, they were really an attacking offensive line. And this guy taught a much more passive scheme. And so, you know, I don't know that simply going back to the correct scheme under a quality control coach, that's just embarrassing. Is going to fix it. But, you know, I think that probably had more to do with the troubles than maybe Bielema originally anticipated. I mean, losing 3 NFL but 3 NFL draft players is, I mean, off the line is, you know, most likely the biggest problem. But, you know, seriously, they broke what didn't need breaking. It's not hard.
No.
Just hire somebody who does the same thing.
Yeah, they've been doing that. Yeah, exactly. I mean, they've been doing it since, what, 1990 when Alvarez got there. And, I mean, they've sent a lot of good linemen and good backs and good guys through, and it seems like they just fill in a new piece and off they go. I think that, for me, has been the biggest surprise is how much they've struggled to run. But as you said, it's baffling that you'd bring in a coach who would do something different considering how well that's worked for you. But I wish the Gophers were playing them this week or next week and not the end of October, because I worry in another month or so they're going to have things figured out and look a little more like the Wisconsin that we thought they were going to be, but maybe not. Maybe it's one of those things where it's one of those years. It's going to be tough for them. I would love to beat them even in Madison.
Yeah, that would be. It's been too long. I mean, that's both 3-1 is even starting to fade a little bit in my memory. It's too perfect and too long ago. And so, yeah, no, if that could somehow happen, that would just pretty much make my season. It's the rivalry we haven't won, and I live here, so for me, that would be.
If for nothing else, that would be everything. Exactly. And speaking of 1990, I looked that up. That's the last time that the Gophers have had both the Pig and the Axe. 1990 is the last time that they were able to beat both Iowa and Wisconsin. So that would be a fun one too. But we got plenty of time to talk about Iowa next week. This week at Syracuse, it's easily their toughest test of the season so far. Definitely one of the best offenses they're going to play. Ryan Nassib has been out of his mind. They've been putting up points. They've been going up and down the fields. It's going to be a tough one. Our defense, I think, played pretty well, considering especially in the past game, both coverage and getting pressure on Carver and Western Michigan last week. And, I mean, really, for you, do you think it just comes down to that pass, the pass rush again, trying to get pressure on Nassib and make his life miserable?
I think ultimately probably that's going to be the biggest factor. Obviously, I mean, if the secondary starts breaking down and isn't playing up to the level they've displayed the last three games, that's going to be a problem too. But, you know, even a secondary that's playing well isn't going to be able to keep it up all game if there's no pass rush. You know, and if they have to start bringing blitzes, then you're just opening yourself up to even more problems, especially, you know, given the fact that you know, Nassib really is just seemingly is so on this year. You know, you would expect that they'd be able to start picking apart a team if you have to blitz too much. So, ideally, we'll just see Will Heights and Hageman and the rest of the crew just harass and pressure and knock down and put some quality sacks in there and just enjoy it. Because, frankly, the way they've been getting back there, it's just been fun to watch.
Yeah, it has. We haven't seen that in a long, long time in that way. And it sounds like Rashid kind of saw his first double team that he'd seen this year. He's going to have to get used to that. He's going to see that the rest of the season if he keeps being kind of the beast in the middle that he has. So that'll be big. And again, offensively, I think as we talked about, we'll see what the Gophers decide to do. I agree with you. I think it'll be established the run, play, ball control. But you never know, if they let Max open it up a little bit, we could see a bit of a shootout.
Yeah, I think it's going to be. I don't know. I'm excited for it. Honestly, it's the first night game I've been to that I think I'll enjoy since Air Force. NDSU last year was not a real winner of a time.
That was not a good one at all.
You know, I'm excited for the atmosphere. I'm excited for the opportunity to watch them play a good opponent. I'm a little apprehensive. It'd be great if they, you know, you could just walk in knowing they were going to walk out with a win. But if this team is going to beat Iowa on the road, if this team is going to beat Wisconsin on the road, if this team is going to make a bowl game by beating, you know, a couple of Big Ten teams, you know, this is the kind of game they're going to have to be able to compete in. You know, a night game at home with the fans overwhelmingly in your favor, you know, against a good but not great team, you know, that's a situation you got to be able to compete in. So I'm looking forward to it. You know, I'm not sure exactly how to predict it. You know, you feel like you want to say it's a shootout because of the offense that Syracuse displays, and you got to think that maybe the Gophers got to do that to hang with. But at the same time, I'm not sure our defense doesn't do to them what they've done to some of these other teams that have been, you know, okay but not great. You know, I can't remember where I saw it today. I feel like FBT retweeted it, MV retweeted it, but somebody commented that, you know, it's easy to say that, you know, a defense is okay just because they're competition, but bad defenses show it by this point. And that's definitely true. If you think about last year, you know, our defense showed it wasn't ready early in the season, and this defense hasn't shown anything like that. So there's a part of me that's hopeful that, you know, it'll actually be kind of more of a 24-21 kind of game because our defense steps up and gets it done and you know, allows the offense to try to finish them off.
Yeah, that's what the Syracuse guy said as well. He thought he saw it more like a 20-17, 21-20 kind of game. I think that's probably a pretty good guess because, yeah, I think our defense is going to be there, and if we slow it down, it could be interesting. Then again, maybe we get the shootout that Syracuse probably thinks it's going to be in. Nassib goes all over the place, but I hope not. Yeah, I guess prediction-wise, you think in kind of a score in that range, hopefully you go for a win?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to predict a Gopher win. I think, you know, they've played well enough where I'm not going to pick against them at home on a big night game. I'm going to say they do it by a touchdown. I'll say we'll call it 24-17.
I like it a lot. Well, you've got tickets. I've got tickets. If you don't, listening, have tickets, get to gophersports.com. I know there's still some available. They're hoping to sell it out. So get there soon, get your seats, it should be a whale of a game. I'm excited for this one. This is going to be a very good matchup. It's a game, you know, when we saw Syracuse hang with Northwestern and then with USC, to say that this was going to be a tough matchup, and it will be. But, the night game, hopefully sold out, should be a great atmosphere, and obviously everybody there to do the Gopher. I mean, it's about all you can ask for as a football fan.
Agreed.
All right, then that'll wrap it up for us this week. Again, kickoff at 7:00. If for some reason you can't be there, it'll be on a Big Ten Network. Otherwise, be at the game. Get out there tailgating. It's what fall football is all about, to have a day and an afternoon to get out there and enjoy it. So thanks to Chris for filling in again for us this week. I am Jeffrick. As always, stay classy and go Gophers. You figure it out.